the word man this morning. I think men, our men here, will be listening. But when we say man in the Bible, it translates both ways. It's mankind. In God's eyes, get this, spiritually speaking, we are genderless. There is no gender in God's eyes, spiritually speaking. In fact, my Bible plainly says there is no difference between a man and a woman, a Jew or a Greek. And that keeps translating. Black, white, yellow, red, from West Virginia, from Ohio, it doesn't matter. In God's eyes, spiritually, we are all equal. But just with any organization that's put together and put together properly, we're all given different tasks. And while we're here earthbound, and I mean that, bound, you're bound in your bodies for right now. That's where you get to live right now. You don't get to live outside your body. Not now. At some point, we will. But while we're here, then we have specific God-given tasks. And we'll talk about them this morning. But when we talk about God also, and I'll mention this, throughout the Scripture, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, you can identify some of the attributes of God, our Father, as also being the attributes of a good mother. Because God is all things to all people. He is omnipotent. That means He has all wisdom. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful through the omnipotence of Him. And He's omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time through His Holy Spirit. And He is no respecter of persons. That doesn't mean He doesn't like people. What that means is, to Him, He is gender blind and color blind. Period. End of story. Because we are all made in His image. But remember the roles that we have as well. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So when you hear the word man, ladies, this is not a sermon for you to go to sleep. Although, most of the women that I know of in my life could use the rest from us guys. A little break. That's why they have women retreats more than they have men retreats. And maybe that's why women retweet more than men. Oh, never mind. That's horrible. So here we are. So let's talk about three things, and we'll put them together with God's Word. A man who is connected to God and who has confessed that Christ is needed in his life and has also confessed that he needs help to be a better person is the Father we all need here on earth. Did it make sense? Did you hear any of that? The man, the person, a man who has purposefully connected himself to God and confessed that Christ is needed in his life. By confessing that, he is saying, I am not God. I am not all-powerful. I need help from my supreme being to make it through this life. There is a power larger than me, and I need to call on that power for strength. It is admitting it is not weakness. There's not any amount of weakness in that whatsoever. It's strength. It's knowing our limits, gentlemen and ladies. We all have limits. God helps us to recognize them and to empower us. So the person who has recognized that and confessed that he needs help to be a better person and has confessed that this Bible has wisdom in it that's worth talking about and living about is the father we need here on earth. So let's take it a step further. A man who models himself after the works of Christ is the father we need here on earth. Gentle, loving, caring, forgiving, tolerant, patient, all the gifts and all the attributes and all the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. If a man, if a person, if mankind would model themselves after the gifts and the fruit that God wants us to have in our life, that would be the man that we need here on earth representing us as a father figure. Let's take it a step further. A man who realizes that many are watching him. Sometimes we completely lose sight of that, don't we? When we do things that are not honorable, we forget that the world is watching. And our children and our community will try sometimes to model themselves after the behavior of certain people, won't they? Can you think of an example? People want to dress like certain movie stars, right? People want to wear the same clothes as models. That's why they call them models. I'm saying if we would model ourselves after Christ, there might be some people that would want to follow, and I believe there are, and I believe that there's many good men and women in this congregation, and I thank you for it. But here's the kicker. Sometimes we do behave so that others will see us, either bad or good. But the one thing we tend to forget in this world is that God, our Father, is watching. We've lost our corporate mutual conscience. The conscience that used to guide us is fading away. And it's not a pretty sight. It's the all things are okay attitude. And those of you who chose to be here this morning, thank you. God bless you. Thank you for leading. You did that. By coming here today, you are leading. By showing up at Vacation Bible School, you're leading. You don't have to even have a part that is a written script. Just by being in God's house around these little ones is leading them to Christ. Now that is, as long as your behavior is good while you're here. That has to do with life as well, right? Because we only have one thing that we're riding around in, and that's not your car. It's this body that you were given. And this is what the world sees, and this is what the world remembers. And as we visit the nursing homes, one thing is brilliantly recorded in my mind, because it always makes me think of my dad. When I sit and talk to men and women in the nursing homes, and they tear up remembering their father. And it goes both ways. The most tender moments are the ones where they break down and they just say, I wish my daddy was here. My daddy was so good to us. He was such a good man. I loved him and I miss him so. These are people in their 80s and 90s, especially those that are very, very aged. Well up in their years, they're still missing their good dad. And I know this is very tender for some of you to hear. But it is for me too. And as I relate these things to you through God's Word this morning, this is just as hard and good for me as it is for you as well. And here's the beauty of God in following Him. You do not need to be a biological parent to be a father figure to the fatherless. So many people need you in this world. They're looking to you for guidance and leadership to say and do the right things. The scripture that we read this morning in the Psalm 68 said that God, the attribute of one of the many attributes of God, is that He is a father to the fatherless. And He's a very present help to the widowed. It is God's will that you know safety and salvation and hope in your life. It's God's will that that happens. If you would turn now to John chapter 6. All the books in the Bible are precious to me, but the book of John is my favorite. It is the book that I was able to open after having walked away for too many years from my faith. After too many years of thinking I could handle it on my own, Lenny. After too many years of thinking I was in charge and trying to be in charge, after too many years of trying to be a father just by providing income, when I finally got back in God's Word where I belong, this was the book that opened my eyes again. Every book in the Bible is just as precious and is just as important as any other book, but this book holds a meaning for me because when I opened the book of John, God started speaking to me incredibly, incredibly clearly because, bear with me, I was seeking God's help. There's a big difference between reading God's Word and needing God's Word. And that's what changed my life. I got to the point, and this might be hard for my family to hear, but they know this. My daughter's here this morning. God bless her. Chapter 6 in the book of John, Betty. I heard that. My hearing's coming back, by the way. I heard that, too. I realized at some point that this was bigger than me living this life, and it wasn't all about money or things or possessions. It was about having the type of relationship that I needed with my family and my God. And this was the book that opened my eyes again. In the 6th chapter of the book of John, starting in the 39th verse, my Bible says this. 39th verse. This jumped off the page at me, literally lit up like a Christmas tree. When I read this, it was as if it was highlighted. And in fact, I have highlighted it now in my Bible with blue highlighter, verse 40, but 39 is the one that jumped off the page. Because we all want to know what God's purpose is for us. First of all, we want to know what our purpose is in life. And if you want to know what your purpose is in life, find out what God's purpose is for you, and then you'll find out what your purpose is. It goes like that, you see. Because God made you, and He has a purpose for your life. Jesus said, this is red letter words from Jesus Himself, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." My hairs are standing up on my arm right now, just like they did the first time I finally read that for real. I'd read the Bible numerous times. I was raised in church, folks. If the doors were open, we were there. But reading the Bible is different from needing the Bible. Reading God's Word is different from needing God's Word. And it's three things that I tried to point out to you in the beginning. The man of God that we need is the one who will admit that he needs help. And I am by no means perfect. In fact, I'm the exact opposite of that. I am still a needy person. With all flesh stuff, with everything the world has, I'm still that person. But I am trying to overcome some of that worldly neediness by discovering God's Word. And He says, you know what He just told you? Jesus said, God has ordained for me, meaning Jesus, God's will for my life, for Jesus' life, is that every one of His children would be saved. That none would be lost. That all would be lifted up at the last day, at that last breath, to know where you're going. That's what Jesus is saying. The will of God in all of your lives and the will of God for Jesus was that His Word would be so dramatic and so complete that everyone would be saved and that everyone on their last breath here on earth would be lifted up to a place of eternal joy. That's God's will. There's many things in the Bible that says God's will. This is the most important scripture that you can read, and I hope you need it this morning. Because this supercharges the rest of God's Word. He says you need to be equipped to live this life. In fact, back in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 and 3:17, it says that God's Word, all of God's Word, is good for instruction and to equip us to live this life. So we need to get immersed in God's Word. If you need something in your life, invest some time in seeking God and see if it changes things. Invest time. You came this morning, you made the right decision, now carry through on it. And then it says in verse 40, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This has nothing to do with the second coming of Jesus. When He comes, it will surprise the entire world, and He is coming, and I believe He is, and I believe that His righteousness will outweigh all the evil in all of the world, and everything will be set right again someday. He will split the eastern sky and appear, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That will happen. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the equipped man is a man who believes who Jesus Christ is, has confessed Him as Lord and Savior, and when you breathe your last breath here on earth, He will transport you to everlasting life without any of the junk that this life has to offer. Sally, you will not need a pacemaker on your 800th birthday. How's that song go? After 10,000 years, there'll be no less days to sing God's praise. In other words, there won't be less days, there won't be more days. It'll just be eternal day. An eternal time to rejoice and thank God that He willed it to be that you would be saved from the horribleness of sin and shame just by believing that He sent His Son to save you. And people say, it can't be that simple. It's got to be more complex. No, it isn't. And yes, it is. Or yes, it is, and no, it isn't. However that came out. Right? Scripturally, there is no easier way to explain God's will for us and for men than right here. I could search this Bible until I was blue in the face and underline myself, there's no scripture that's clearer than these two verses, in my opinion. God's will in my life is that I should be saved from everything. My body will die. Period. It's going to happen. But my soul will never die. And it needs saved and taken care of until that time. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, I am convinced that God will save this thing until the day He's done with me. I paraphrase that. You can look it up. You can even write it down like that. You can even Google it like that, and you'll come up with that scripture. Just put in there, just put Bible dash, Paul said, I am convinced that God will save this thing until the day He's done with it and takes me home. And it might be riddled with cancer, it might be heart disease, it might be loss of family members. It could be all those things, but your soul is safe and sound and secure for those who believe in Jesus Christ. And the soul is the only thing that you need to be eternally concerned about. Should we take care of our bodies while we're here? Of course. Our bodies are the temple of God, and it's the only thing that people are looking at. Remember, people are watching us, and God is watching us. Remind you again that God is the Father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, and God is in His holy dwelling place. I believe that of all of the ways the Lord God Almighty could have chosen to relate to us, He chose to relate to us as family. He could have said, I'm the big boss, I'm the big kahuna. You know, I'm the dictator. I'm El Presidente. He could have chosen to say anything, you know, carve his image into mountains. One of the silliest things I believe I ever heard of. I used to want to go to Mount Rushmore. Then I heard it was not as big as everybody said it was. I've also heard that other presidents would like to have their image carved up there. One in particular I heard. The good news is there's not room for another face. That's the great news. I read that and I went like, thank you, God. God chose to relate to us in the language of family. I am your father. My son is the good shepherd. I lead you in paths of righteousness. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes beside still waters, sometimes green pastures, sometimes black ice. But he chose to relate to us as Father. He presents himself to us and calls himself Father because we all know what a good father is supposed to be. And I said, supposed to be. And in many instances, moms and dads are having to be mom and dad. And thank you, each and every one of you, for putting on both of those hats all the time. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 11. This is something perhaps you have not seen. Luke chapter 11. Or if you have, maybe you just scrolled over it. Luke 11. Say maybe you've never heard of this. You prayed this prayer this morning, but maybe you've never heard it. Maybe we've skipped over it. Perhaps it escaped getting deep down into our consciousness and becoming part of what we do when we worship. In chapter 11, it says this, it came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. I know you prayed that prayer with me from the book of John, or from the book of Matthew, chapter 6 this morning. I know you did that. But you see, you didn't see this question that he was asked, right? His disciples said, will you teach me to pray? And Jesus, of course, said, of course. I wasn't there when this conversation took place, but I know enough about my Bible that when Jesus was asked a question that he could answer and wanted to answer, and it was time for him to answer, that he answered and he said, of course, I'll teach you how to pray. And here's how it goes. Start with this. Our Father. And then put him in his rightful place. Give him the dignity that he deserves. Remember the commandments of Moses that Moses was given. Honor your mother and father. There's the duality of God again, presenting himself as both mother and father in our lives. A total God, a complete package, one with all of us. Honor God. Jesus said, here we go, our Father who art in heaven. That's his place. And then honor him again and saying, his name is to be revered. His name is to be separated. His name is to be holy. We're not supposed to speak his name in vain. In fact, the commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Fathers, if you are saying that around your children, stop it, please. Mothers, if you ever say that and take the Lord's name in vain around your children, stop it today. Never utter it again. And if you ever hear them use the name of the Lord in an unholy fashion, stop them and remind them that God's name is holy. And He is God and Father over all. Our Father, who art in heaven, blessed, hallowed be thy name. And then ask him from the depths of your heart, replace the evil in this world with the blessedness of your Christ. That's what the next sentence says. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I took you to that scripture in John purposefully before we got here, because John 39 and 40 tells us the will of God. The will of God is that we should recognize Christ as our Savior, and that we should all be saved, and upon our last breath we'll be taken to that place where He is, reunited with our Father. I can't wait to see my dad again. I'm just all about that. My mom and my dad, I can't wait to see them again. And I mean that. I know we're not going to have the same bodies we have here on earth, but my Bible says we'll know them. But I also can't hardly conceive of seeing God the Father. It gives me cold chills. It changes my attitude when I think about it. I'm going to be able to see my Creator. I'm going to see and understand that purpose. I'll understand His true will, and I'll know for once and for all, my friends, why God loved me enough to save me. Those days when you can't find it in your heart to love yourself, those days when you say, I'm sick of me, those days when you say, I'm not good enough, will all be answered. You'll know exactly why He created you, and how beautiful you really are. You're gorgeous. You're precious. You're the best thing that ever happened to God. You're His creation, and He loves you. And His will in your life is that you would recognize Him and honor Him. It's just that simple. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, He wants you to have it now. He wants you to have the peace now. He knows that you might get sick. He knows that you could have heart disease. He knows all of that. But He wants you to have salvation now. He wants you to know that you know Bob McKelvey. I'll never forget the man. He preached here a few times a bunch of years ago. And he was one of the guys, and he said, I know that I know that I know that I know. And it was part of that scripture that I quoted earlier about the Apostle Paul. I am convinced that God will keep this thing until the day He calls me home. And that His will would be done in your life today, so that you know where you're going. Do your kids know? Does your family, do all of your family members know? Are they convinced? Are they able to pray that prayer and understand that prayer? The model prayer can make model men if we humble ourselves to God's will and understand that God's will is not to harm you or to punish you. In fact, John 3:16 and 3:17 says all there is to be said about that. 3:17 says, I have come to what? I've come to save the world, not to destroy. That means your world someday, yes, and people say, oh, the Bible's all crazy. In the end, he destroys the world. He's not talking about the dirt. He's talking about your world. Your world. Where you live day to day to day to day. This thing that's within you that's called your spirit, your soul, that's your world. He's not come to destroy it. He's come to save it. We're so concerned about the physical and the things that we can see with our eyes that we forget that we are spiritual beings. And guys, you need to let down the big fierce, the big junk in the life, I'm so big and I'm so strong. You need to let it down a little bit once in a while, guys. Let it down. Get rid of the storefront, the fake front. You ever seen those Old West movie sets? Just a bunch of boards standing up in the air with supports behind them holding them up. There's nothing really there. And when guys especially put up that big front, so strong, so big, let it down once in a while. Let the world see you for who you truly are, the person that God made with a heart and a soul and a mind and tenderness and tolerance and forgiveness. Let the facade down and let God work in your life. You're about to leave the coolness of God's sanctuary and enter into the heat of the day. These are times when tempers can flare. People get impatient. But remember what God's will is for your life, guys. We do that today. God's will is that you know Christ, and if you know Christ and model yourself after him, you will be the patient, loving, tender, tolerant guy that God made you to be. And perhaps during the day, if you need a little help, you can stop and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Can you finish it? Lead us not, but deliver us, for thine and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pray again together. Would you bow your heads?